While many folks have questions about sulfide mining and its execution in northern Minnesota, Mining Truth is a coalition of Minnesota conservation groups working to focus these questions and get answers. Aaron Clems is the Communication and Engagement Director with Friends of the Boundary Waters Wilderness. He joins us now by phone. And Frank Moe is a board member with Conservation Minnesota. He joins us now in the studio. Welcome to you both.
Hey, Aaron.
Good morning,
Thanks
Aaron.
Thanks for being here. Well, Frank, could you briefly introduce Mining Truth and the two proposed mines?
Yeah, first, thanks for having us on this morning. Mining Truth formed last year a coalition of groups who are concerned about the expansion of mining into sulfide mining, which has never been done safely anywhere in the world and is being proposed here in northeastern Minnesota. Friends of the Boundary Waters, Conservation Minnesota, and Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy came together and said, we just need to educate the state of Minnesota about this issue. Most people just didn't know about it. And our history in northeastern Minnesota is taconite mining or iron mining, which is relatively safe and is part of our cultural history here. But the new types of mining that are being proposed, the first two are Polymet, which is near Rorihoit Lakes, and the other one is Duluth Twin Metals, which is near the Boundary Waters. These two projects would mine precious metals, copper, nickel, and other things. And this type of mining has never been done here, has a very dramatic history of water pollution contamination around the world. And we decided that the state of Minnesota needs to know what we're getting into before we consider proceeding with this type of mining here.
Okay. Aaron, I understand that Mining Truth has identified four key questions or issues about sulfide mining. Can you tell us what those are?
Sure. We're looking forward to seeing the details from Polymet's proposal that's likely to come out this fall. And in advance of that, we're talking about some principles we think Minnesota's government should adhere to as they evaluate these proposals. And these are, number one, will Minnesota's water stay safe and clean? Our water should be our first priority, we think. Are there safeguards in place for when things go wrong? Because things do go wrong at this type of mine. Will companies leave the site clean and maintenance-free? Because there's lots of examples of sites that have been left zombie mines, basically, polluting in perpetuity after they close. And lastly, will Minnesota taxpayers be protected? Because there's been a lot of cases where taxpayers have been left on the hook to clean up these sites after they've been abandoned by the companies closing abruptly or going bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. So for this phase of your campaign, what would success look like to you guys?
This is Aaron again. I think the biggest success we would have is if folks are aware of the differences between these mines and iron mining, and also aware of the existence of and the risks of these kinds of proposals. We're running a petition asking the governor and others, the senators of our state, to adhere to these four principles, these four questions, and already over 2,600 people have signed that petition, and we hope to get that petition signatures up to around 10,000 by the end of this campaign at the end of the summer.
And this campaign specifically is not to say we're not going to do this mine or we're not going to do that mine. This campaign, the Mining Truth campaign, is explicitly to educate the state of Minnesota and people about the dangers of sulfide mining and the history of very toxic sulfuric acid water pollution that come from them. And so not only do we want, like Aaron said, people to communicate with the governor about it, but also to educate themselves about what we're looking at here.
So who are you targeting for your campaign? Who do you want to get involved?
I think this is an issue that affects all Minnesotans. And so we're bringing this message across the state from southeastern Minnesota all the way up to the northwest corner of the state. And the metro area, as well as northeastern Minnesota. We think every Minnesotan has a stake in this question, and so we're trying to bring this question to as many Minnesotans as possible in all different corners of the state.
Yeah, just some specifics about this, and if we want to get into a little bit, I think, you know, these questions are all very difficult, and I think largely impossible for the governor to answer yes to, and that's the point, that Minnesota's water won't stay safe and clean if these mines are operated anything remotely like any of the other mines have been in the rest of the world. Strong safeguards in place, you know, that might go wrong. Will taxpayers be protected? Margaret Watkins just did a talk up here on Thursday. She's from Portage, Grand Portage, water quality expert. Brilliant talk, and she looked at how much okay, so if they operate these mines, one mine, and then close it, and then have to maintain it over time to prevent pollution from running off from the mine site, they're going to have to maintain this massive water treatment facility, reverse osmosis facility, for at least 1,000 years. I mean, and I can't imagine, 1,000 years. Are you kidding? I mean, I can't keep my car running for a week. Imagine, trying to keep a thing like that. And she estimates the cost of that, financial assurance, which is how much the company would have to put up front in a bond to fund that, as almost $100 billion. And imagine that. I mean, that's three times the state of Minnesota's biannual budget. And the history of these companies walking from these places is rampant. So the Minnesota taxpayers going to be on the hook for that. I mean, the reality is that we would never have the money, and that these sites would be, massive toxic legacies like they have across the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, you have something to say about that?
I agree with all that. I think that one of our keys here is trying to get folks to understand what's at stake and, the history of this type of mining and how it differs from the mining that Minnesotans are familiar with. Mm-hmm. And that's really the point of Mining Truth, and our goal is to bring this message to as many folks as possible. And, our website is miningtruth.org, and if folks want to sign the petition to the governor asking him to answer these four questions, yes, before he'd permit a sulfide mine, we ask them to go to miningtruth.org and fill out the petition.
Okay, great. Anything else either one of you would like to add before we let you go?
Well, there's going to be some tabling out at Fisherman's Picnic on that weekend. So if you're walking around, I'll be out there, and many other people will be out there. We'll be handing Mining Truth information out, information from other supportive groups, Northeastern Minnesotans for Wilderness, Water Legacy. So look for us out at Fisherman's Picnic.
Okay. Aaron, anything?
No, that's great. I look forward to talking to as many people as possible, and we'll see you up at Fisherman's Picnic.
All right. Thank you both. We've been speaking with Aaron Clems and Frank Moe of the Mining Truth Coalition. More information about their work, sulfide mining issues, and the opportunity to view and sign the petition is at miningtruth.org.